gender roles, artinya perempuan harus begini, terus laki-laki harus begitu.
Jadi ya gitu, in my household, it was very well defined, the man was the breadwinner. And my mother, even though she was a master's in law and was already a qualified barrister, she was actually asked to stay at home.
Kalau gue lebih kayak, I've been told that men have to pay on the first dates. We cannot go over to their places. Harusnya cowok jemput. And then harusnya cowok yang nyamperin duluan, we cannot say hi first.
Alright, welcome back to another season of Taboo Tuesday. How are you ladies feeling tonight? We've got a lot this season because we ladies like to talk about hard topics, and today we're gonna talk about gender roles.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
Gender roles, artinya perempuan harus begini, terus laki-laki harus begitu. Nah, kalau di dalam budaya Indonesia ya, mungkin ada nggak sih gender roles yang kalian itu pernah ngalamin atau pernah dikasih tahu ke orang, dari orang ya?
Yeah, so very excited for this topic tonight. My dad, if you guys know Ned Stark from the Game of Thrones, he's a Ned. That typical kind of manly man, integrity, loyalty, and all of those things, responsibility. Jadi ya gitu, in my household, it was very well defined. The man was the breadwinner. And my mother, even though she was a master's in law and was already a qualified barrister, she was actually asked to stay at home. And maksudnya, my mom put it in a way that, oh yeah, it's a privilege for her to be staying at home. Tapi kayaknya, from my perspective, I feel like she lost a little bit of confidence. Because she wasn't able to apply what she had learned, and kayak agak suka talking about the past, kayak dulu tuh cerita gitu loh, cerita mama dulu gini, tapi nggak banyak yang unfortunately bisa dibanggakan saat ini gitu. That really left a mark on me, because akhirnya I think I went the other way, dimana I really really want to make a career for myself, dan malah nggak tahu how to have time for family gitu.
I think I kind of felt that a little bit ya. Kayak aku juga sedikit pernah mengalamin itu. Kalau misalnya dari keluarga aku, my family is also very traditional. My mother is a housewife, ibu rumah tangga, and my dad is the sole breadwinner for the family. So I think in terms of like power structure, of course the one who holds financial
power usually has the most power, kan?
Kalau gue lebih kayak, I've been told that men have to pay on the first dates. We cannot go over to their places. Harusnya cowok jemput. And then harusnya cowok yang nyamperin duluan. We cannot say hi first. When I was in high school or even college, my mom still said that juga sih, kayak, why do you have to keep meeting him at this place? Why doesn't he pick you up at home so we can meet him?
Yeah, we get that too. Dan kayak cewek nggak boleh nembak duluan kan?
Yeah. It's so embarrassing for women to say hi first, even on online dating apps these days.
Hmm, really?
Kecuali Bumble.
Tapi tetap aja barriers to entry-nya tetap ada.
No, I think that's so true. Dea, you brought up a really good point, like in which I also remember, because my mother is a very traditional housewife, right? So what is expected of a man is one, to pay for all of the meals, to like really cater to the needs of a woman. So a woman is kind of like a damsel in distress waiting for a man to save her. So it's a very patriarchy sort of approach to like relationships.
Yeah, men are expected to be providers.
Men are expected to be providers because they're more strong, they're more whatsoever. So I think there was one time someone actually told me, like, why do you want to get an MBA or a master's degree? Because, you know, as a girl, you don't need to, like, be so highly educated because you're going to intimidate men, right? And one thing that I know for sure is that our lady tonight, Gita, is obviously very highly educated. and she's happily married. So I really want to hear the things that you've been through, Git. Anything similar to that?
Jadi my mom is actually more educated than me. So sebenarnya aku growing up-nya dengan dua parents yang dua-duanya sangat highly educated, dua-duanya punya PhD dan juga ini privilegeku. Jadi aku grateful banget bahwa aku bisa punya parents yang memang se-educated itu dan bukan hanya educated, tetapi mereka juga sangat mementingkan kita itu harus selalu terbuka untuk belajar. Jadi belajar itu nggak usah sampai gue punya PhD. Mereka sebenarnya nggak expect aku untuk punya master, punya PhD, punya anything for that matter. Mereka cuma pengen aku punya education yang bagus, tetapi bahwa aku terus belajar gitu. Jadi mereka selalu ingetin aku, kamu itu seumur hidup harus terus belajar, dengerin orang lain, baca buku, dan segala hal. Nah, ibuku sebenarnya waktu itu walaupun ayahku adalah primary breadwinner, tetapi ibuku juga ada karirnya sendiri. Nah, dia itu sebenarnya di bidang lebih ke development. Jadi dia itu di bidang untuk research dan untuk juga analysis. Dan dia dulu juga pernah jadi profesor. Dua-dua orang tuaku memang cukup equal dalam yang namanya dalam professional development lah.
Pas kamu balik ke Indonesia, yang di mana itu mungkin Asia lah ya. Kita bilang kalau di budaya Asia, Asia itu kan agak patriarchy is much more apparent, right? Like where people around you tell you that, you know, as a woman, you should not do this, you should not do that, right? Did you feel that there was a stark difference coming back to Indonesia?
Enggak juga sih, karena menurutku sebenarnya patriarki itu kan ada di begitu banyak negara. Di Amerika juga ada, cuman mereka seksismenya enggak se-blatant di banyak tempat di Asia gitu. Tetapi sebenarnya diskriminasi juga ada kok. Dan mungkin karena aku di-raise dengan keluarga yang membicarakan hal inilah. Kita selalu membicarakan hal-hal sosial, topik political dan ekonomik. Jadi aku itu sadar bahwa sebenarnya diskriminasi itu ada di mana-mana, bentuknya aja beda-beda. Ada tempat-tempat yang jauh lebih in your face gitu. Di Asia banyak yang lebih terbuka untuk mengutarakan implicit bias mereka gitu. Tetapi in practice kalau kita melihat systemic diskriminasi itu emang di begitu banyak negara. Eropa nggak jauh lebih hebat atau mereka banyak sebenarnya advantages-nya, tetapi juga bukan berarti mereka itu sempurna, enggak. Nah, itu adalah hal yang waktu aku pindah ke Indonesia, mungkin karena aku juga social circle-nya kan beda ya, enggak gitu coba dengar orang yang benar-benar ngomongin tentang gender roles. Aku itu lebih temenan lewat keluarga juga, jadi in some way aku memang protected dari begitu banyak gender roles dan bias yang mungkin memang sangat eksplisit sebenarnya. Tetapi aku di circle-ku yang paling dekat, jadi misalnya di 10 orang terdekatku, kita lebih terbuka ngomongin tentang masalah-masalah ini dan kita keep each other accountable. Jadi kita itu berhati-hati gitu. Kalau misalnya kita mengatakan sesuatu di mana ada unsur seksismenya, kita memang terkenal calling each other out.
Ladies, kalian pernah gak dated, you know, went out with somebody like opposite gender or the same gender who actually kayak mengkategorikan kayak okay, kalau kamu tuh di dalam hubungan ini, kamu tuh harus A, B, C. Pernah gak? Ada gak pengalaman yang kayak bikin kalian like, oh my god.
Pernah-pernah actually. Like my first ever boyfriend, he and his family expected me to stay at home. After we got married.
Stay at home ngapain? Just chilling, you know?
Stay at home ngapain?
Yeah, I couldn't work. Pokoknya I couldn't work. Just stay at home. Do whatever. Pokoknya I couldn't work.
Right.
Because he's supposed to be the provider, right?
Wow, that's crazy. How are you gonna live then? So you have to depend on him financially, right?
Yeah, right? Gila. Maybe at some point, it did sound good. But then, gue kan udah earn my own money kan. I have freedom and everything. So I don't think that works for me, see.
Right.
Is that a means of oppression, do you think?
Yes.
Taking the power away from the women?
Totally.
Yeah, and I think looking back, dipikir-pikir, emang, I think it's a way of his family of trying to control the wife.
The women in the family, perhaps, yeah. What they see is that, what people think, what a lot of women think is that normal, right? It's very normal to like stay home. It's very normal to like, you know, not have a job after you get married. It's very normal to be financially dependent on your partner. But I also realize that a lot of people are speaking up. I think a lot of changes are happening in recent years.
Shockingly, gue gak ngerti cowok mana yang pengen dating gue dengan begitu banyak gender roles. Tapi waktu itu pernah sih, gak sengaja, karena ya namanya masih muda ya, sorry. Tetapi dia itu bener-bener punya masalah bahwa tiap kali kita pergi ke restoran apa atau pergi ke tempat manapun, lebih banyak orang yang kenal gue. Dia itu beneran have such a problem with it. Dan dia sampai kayak bilang, kamu sangka kamu itu hebat banget ya. Padahal gue kan juga gak peduli sebenarnya kalau orang gak kenal gue di restoran. It just so happens gue itu makan di tempat yang sama. Gue tahu gue itu kalau ngomong emang sering mungkin cukup colorful dan honest. Jadi kadang-kadang orang di sana bisa inget sama gue. Tetapi dia bothered banget bahwa orang kenal, dan dia sampai kayak bilang, you know, biasanya jauh lebih banyak orang yang kenal gue daripada cewek gue.
So nyindir ya?
Iya, terus gue bilang gini, loh bagus dong kalau misalnya kita semakin kenal makin banyak orang sama-sama gitu kan. Terus dia bilang, enggak, tapi biasanya gue yang dikenal atau gue yang di say hi gitu. Kok di sini orang cuma say hi ke lo? Jadi lucu banget sih. Of course ini cuman lasting sebulan karena it's so ridiculous. Kayak it's so weird bahwa itu selalu terjadi karena emang insecurity yang aneh. Nah, dia juga memang udah gitu mulai bikin komen kayak, "Oh, kamu itu bener-bener suka berkarir ya. Gila banget." Terus gue bilang, "Apanya yang gila? Kamu juga berkarir."
What?
Ya kan?
Oh my god.
Basically, kenapa sih yang dilakukan cowok itu gila banget kalau dilakukan sama cewek? Tetapi kalau misalnya cowok yang lakuin, itu dianggap dia itu normal dan ambisius.
Jadi dulu kan aku sekolah di Singapura tuh. Aku ingat banget, aku ada satu temen baik. Keluarganya berempat. Tiga cewek, ya, dan satu cowok. Dan papanya itu adalah houseman, right? Her father was a stay-home dad. Her father was the one who took care of the girls in the family. Tapi perempuannya yang mamanya yang sebenarnya jadi breadwinner. Dan itu konsep yang sebenarnya itu it's very frowned upon in Asia, especially. I have no clue why. Gue juga belajar sih, karena I think one of the things that is really hard to like do, especially when the culture perpetuates, the culture accepts that women should stay home, women should not be like the breadwinners, even if the woman is more capable than men. I think it's very strange, right? Sebenarnya di budaya Indonesia ya, perempuan, the people that I know, kalau misalnya mereka itu setelah menikah terus harus kerja, itu kesannya malu. Kesannya itu they're very embarrassed because their husband cannot provide for them. Some girls that I know, kan sekolahnya tinggi tuh, like they have like excellent education, excellent careers coming out of grad school. But they would stay out of the workforce karena there is a certain expectation towards jenis kelaminan mereka. Contohnya nih, yang harusnya di rumah untuk menjaga anak-anaknya, kalau misalnya dia punya anak ya, untuk menjaga keluarga, itu harus perempuan, tidak boleh laki-laki. It is actually very, very strange because some of my friends are married with people with partners who cannot even provide for the family. So, sebelum menikah, they have a arrangement whereby, okay, perempuannya akan tetap di rumah, akan tetap jagain keluarga, akan jagain suami, ya kan, urusin ibu hal rumah tangga. Tapi, after they got married, that wasn't the case. So, she had to eventually work because her husband was not able to provide. Even for the baby. Did she ever expect that, you know, setelah menikah, apakah laki-lakinya tiba-tiba bisa kayak have a stellar career. How are you girls in like your relationship? Because I've gotten like Instagram replies DM through Taboo Tuesday untuk ngebahas topik ini. Karena there is a chain of thought, perempuan yang lebih alpha, lebih dominant itu typically mempunyai karir yang lebih stellar, lebih hebat daripada pasangan mereka. Dan karena itu sering dianggap sebagai perempuan yang tidak laku atau tidak benar.
Yeah, so actually just as we are talking about this topic, aku baru ingat beberapa pesan-pesan yang diberikan ke aku ya from my own mother about finding a husband. Itu salah satunya adalah cari yang bisa cari duit. Terus aku kan ya manggut-manggut aja ya, ya terima aja dulu kan masih kecil kan. So I thought about that for a long time, like okay, like how can I find a man and how can I predict that they in the future they can make money and things like this. So I had that in my mind growing up. I dated this guy who was also an entrepreneur. From there, because I was equally ambitious, there was a lot of competitiveness in our relationship. Actually, akhirnya I got ghosted because his family didn't agree because aku dianggap cewek keras. My ambition was looked upon as a bad thing. It was unseemly that I had a public career. Terus akhirnya I got ghosted. And I didn't know that this was the reason until 2 months later, I saw that he was engaged with another girl. And then 2 months later, he got married. And then 2 months later, she was pregnant. So I was like, oh, ya udah lah gitu. It's obvious the reason. And I just wish that we could live in a society where when someone is ambitious or someone has dreams, like that's seen as a good thing and then is celebrated and more women yes. are able to be who they are and play up to their strengths. Kan? Soalnya, to be honest, like my mom is so smart and intelligent and like she was an awesome barrister, tapi okay, she's not the best at rearing children. Like seriously, I'm probably the same as her. Kayak nggak tahu, awkward aja. Kayak ngangkatnya agak awkward. Sama kayak like I'm so awkward with my dogs. Like stop following me around. That kind of awkward. So damn, tapi look at my husband now, Yoda. He's like maternally like normal. And I was like saying to Yoda, I wish you can bear the children,
and we would be pregnant by now. And he's like, yeah, I wish the same. Ya gitu lah. So now at least I found a relationship where I find that I'm balanced.
Gue tipe yang selalu attract feminine men. It's very funny. Jadi setiap kali orang tuh ketemu pasangan aku selalu ngerasa pasangan aku tuh kayaknya respect perempuan deh karena feminine banget. They're all very feminine. They're usually much more loving than I am. Jadi itu menarik sih.
Feminine guys are nice. They're sweet and caring and they listen and they're not toxically masculine. Come on, like who doesn't think that these kind of guys?
Tapi ini kan sesuatu yang kayak mungkin kalau misalnya budaya kita tuh nggak gitu accepting kali ya. Nah, ini terjadi kayak ya it becomes very toxic for both genders.
I've been in a relationship for almost, no, actually for 4 years now, and I've always been earning more, like quite significantly. So, yes. Emang jadinya mungkin bisa dibilang a bit like breadwinner. Cuma, yes. Fortunately for us, okay, he started catching up 5 months ago, which is a good thing. And he's not stopping, so it's good for both of us. I told Gita, I don't want to be with someone yang I have to provide. Because I have financial insecurity juga. I have financial anxiety. I work my ass off to provide for myself. I want to secure my retirement funds. I don't want to have to be responsible for anyone else's retirement funds. I'm not in that level yet. And even if I were in that level, I still do not want to be responsible for other people, especially my partner. I respect a man who has the same level of ambition as me, at least. Karena for me, kalau kayak different levels of, misalnya, ambitions. Actually, I'm fortunate enough that my mom never told me to find a rich guy sih. Untungnya kayak gitu. Because I know better kalau orang kaya itu bisa jadi jatuh miskin. Bisa bangkrut, bisa meninggal. So, yang penting adalah cari orang yang kerja keras sih. Hard worker, and then resilient. It's just resourceful aja.
Were you ever told anything like that by your mom? Like, look for this kind of guy or
Yeah, of course. And then, like, you know, my father was stopped me. I guess I am. My dad didn't grow up from a well-to-do family, right? So he technically had to work a lot of things. Like, we are not well-to-do, right? Kita juga orang biasa banget kayak, you know. Dan gue inget nyokap gue tuh selalu bilang kalau cari cowok tuh harus tipe yang kayak gini, harus tipe. Nah, what I remember was tipe yang pintar cari duit, yang mau bayarin. Terus ketiga, orangnya harus punya waktu untuk kamu, has to love you a lot. And sejujurnya ya, aku tuh nggak ketemu loh orang yang kayak fill up my mom's checklist expectation. So it's very hard. So kalau gue, my dating experience is always like either orangnya tuh ambitious banget, terus nggak peduli sama perempuan sama sekali, which I used to attract, or orang yang kayak level of ambition, yes ada, but level of santainess itu juga ada. Tapi orangnya lebih chill aja, kayak career isn't like number one thing. And I learned that as growing up, I think you just have to find somebody that complements you. Dan jangan takut untuk debunk social norms, right? Karena kalau misalnya orang lihat kayak, oh wow, like contoh ini, Dea's story, a lot of people for sure will tell her, why do you want to be like the sole breadwinner or the main breadwinner of your relationship, right? But what if that guy really cocok for you? What if that guy is really suitable for you?
Dea wants to be co-breadwinners.
Co-breadwinners, right?
Double income, no kids. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Dea, right? And a lot of people are different, right? Some men want to stay home and actually take care of the household. And there's nothing wrong with that. Tapi our society, what our society is very good at is judging people for whatever that does not fit into like their social norms. Contohnya nih, kalau misalnya I grew up having my mom tell me that, oh, you have to find a man who's like super rich. You know, you have to find a man who's like super ambitious. And it's okay if like he doesn't have time for you. Then you're gonna grow up like expecting, oh, that is love. That is what relationships are like. Because of this, I wanna like dig a little bit and introduce you our very special guest tonight. Let's welcome Simon. Simon, please introduce yourself.
Hello, ladies.
our first male guest on our podcast.
So yeah, so I am Gidu's husband. To all the people who have not realized that yet, hello.
Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you met Gita, what do you currently do? Something that, you know, will keep our audience very attentive.
Ooh, so much pressure.
Yeah, wow. Just straight to like the how we met story. So how did we meet? I mean, we met at a magazine launch event.
Yeah, that I took Gita to.
Yes. Yeah, that you dragged her kicking and screaming to 5 years ago at Potato Head in Pacific Place, Jakarta, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I found myself there, and I'd arrived before her, and I was standing at the entranceway and talking to some guy who owned a co-working hotel or something like that, I can't remember now. Ended up speaking to him for like the whole 2 hours, but at some point in that time, this like this little short force of nature sort of walked through into the event space.
Yep.
And yeah, it's a very cliched kind of thing, but for once in my life, something really stood out and really strongly piqued my curiosity, and I was like, that's an interesting one. If no one knows how, you know, how that Potato Head venue layout was, it's quite a long space, right, with these sort of wide open doors, kind of like a distant stalker able to sort of watch her the entire evening from that entrance way, right?
Oh wow.
And yeah, at sort of, but also typical me not doing a whole lot about it. Yeah, at some point after like 2 or 3 hours of talking to
that guy,
this random co-working space guy, whoever he was, I then managed to make my way in and find some reason, some way to get up to this person that I'd been stalking for 2.5 hours.
At the corner of your eye.
Yeah, and then it just so happened that she was doing something very interesting. She was taking the free beer from the event, putting it in brown paper bags and then stashing it in her handbag.
Yeah.
He be spilling your secrets.
Yeah, you know, I thought this was a very classy move, and I made some kind of comments to that effect. And she was, you know, obviously offended by that and was just like, what the hell? If I want to steal free beer and put it in my handbag, like, who are you to stop me? And yeah, then we got chatting from there, and it turns out she was stealing beer to go and take it upstairs to the Carl's Jr.
That's how you met her.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
Pretty much.
I want to get into this, right? Like, Simon, when you first met Gita, like, you know, she was kind of eccentric, right? Were you aware that she was, like, so highly educated, one, also very motivated and very high achieving?
No, to all three of those. I mean, from that first meeting, we just had, like, random first meeting, you know, bullshitty conversation. And then when we went up to the Carl's Jr., it was hilarious. And I can't remember, I can remember how she was talking. I can't tell you a word of what she actually said. So it was more just, you know, how she expressed herself that sort of really just made me curious and interested, right? I suppose the first hint that this person is quite forward and direct was actually at the end when we had gone downstairs and I was gonna go find a taxi or Uber or whatever was still at the time. And she just kind of goes, if you ever want any beer in the future, here's my card. And just, you know, just kind of out of the blue gave me her business card. And I was just like, ah, okay, that was kind of odd, but cool. So very direct. And then, yeah, I followed up a couple of days later, and then we had a long chat, and then those details emerged.
Right. So when you first met her, you realized that as a woman, right? In the dating scene, women is not supposed to like give out their numbers or give out their business cards as easily, or they are supposed to play hard, right? So that obviously is not Gita.
Yeah, which was perfect for me, because to be honest, I hate the whole like women have to play hard thing. I think it's ridiculous.
Right.
For me, I always thought that was just really annoying. And I prefer if someone likes you to just tell them, you know, just be like, hey, I like you, rather than go through all these stupid games. Because as with many things, if that's how you start a relationship, then who knows, you might be playing games throughout the rest of your relationship as well. So it seems like a terrible idea.
Very interesting. Simon, at that time, have you dated any other women that were like, you know, play hard to get and like fit into like a specific gender sort of roles?
Some of them might have had some aspects or some parts of their character or some parts of life where they thought they maybe had to do something, but I think not as a like a whole complete persona, you know. Yeah, don't think so.
So fast forward like 5 years later. 5 years, right?
Yeah, coming up soon.
Coming up soon, congratulations. Coming up, like, you know, being together for 5 years, and obviously right now, it is clear that Gita is the breadwinner of the family, right? How does that make you feel? Like, did you ever feel inferior? Did you ever got shit from other people because of that?
No, I was mostly given high fives.
Nice!
I like the people you surround yourself with.
Nice. Well done, Simon.
Yeah. I was like, you know, you won. Good job. No, so I mean, has anyone given me shit? No, I don't think so. But then, yeah, as you guys, I probably would not surround myself with people who would. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Don't think anyone's given me shit about it.
Have like guys had conversations with each other, Simon, like explaining discontent about societally how they're expected to make money and provide and everything?
So maybe indirectly. So I think, you know, so amongst my friends, as I mentioned, like certainly a few of them who are aware of the fact that, you know, Gita makes more than me, as I say, like if it's come up, it's usually in the like well done kind of way, right? Like you're winning. But then on the flip side, there's one or two close friends of mine who's the one person's long-term partner, very long time now, is earning, but is earning a lot less, and is in a, I don't know if she's still in the same position, but it was more like a frontline service job, and yeah, really not earning too much. And then that was, you know, that kind of came up, and that was like, you know, other friends saying like, you know, and it was more from the sense of like, wondering if she has more ambition and whether, you know, she is maybe just thinking that for our friend, that's maybe putting a little bit too much strain on him. At the time, they were living in quite an expensive city, right? And I mean, he was a foreigner in that city. They were both foreigners in that city. So, you know, they're not getting any kind of state support either. So it's really just all on them. Another friend of mine, which is definitely the one that's been discussed the most, both members of the couple are very well educated, top universities globally in the world. Both started in professional services, one in finance, one in the legal sphere. And yeah, to all intents and purposes, like his partner is supposedly super smart, right? I haven't met her too many times and was doing all right. But then after her 2 years of intern articles, like, you know, qualifying, she basically dropped out of the workforce and just kind of stayed at home. And actually everyone was just like, why? What's, and you know, like, this is someone who went to like the best schools, the best university, went into a top global firm, and then after like 2 years just drops out because she didn't feel like working. And everyone thought this was super strange, and it definitely frustrated my friend. It's more the opposite. We were kind of like, that's really strange.
So it's very interesting, right? Because like, Simon, you are obviously not Indonesian.
No.
Not from like Asian culture, but there's actually a really big wave of like people who now see like gender roles or like women earning more than their partners as something that is praised, right? Not frowned upon. Jadi kayak untuk teman-teman yang mungkin lagi dengerin podcast ini, sebenarnya nggak ada salahnya sih. Karena di Western culture atau di banyak negara, it's something that's already much more acceptable than compared to the past. And if you think about it, right, like what you actually learned from Gita and Simon is that surround yourself with people who don't make you feel bad about decisions in your life does not concern anybody at all.
I mean, it's interesting what you say about culture. So first of all, you know, I'm just to quickly go back to that. So yeah, I'm South African, right? But even among South Africans, I come from a subgroup of a subgroup. I'm a white South African, which is less than 10% of the population. And amongst that, I'm an English South African. So, and then you could say, you know, I come from a fairly privileged background. So I'm definitely like not representative, right? God knows Africa also as a whole has some issues when it comes to gender roles and patriarchy and all that kind of stuff, right?
So you never feel insecure about it?
Not with Gita, no. And have I ever felt insecure in a relationship? Yeah, and that's because I was made to feel insecure. And I, you know, I think this is important. So it's, I think when it comes to a disparity in income, and you know, this is not just from my own experience, I've seen this in some other couples that's one I knew reasonably well, one not so well, but you know, there were even rumors circulating about how much the husband was basically sort of run down by his wife, right? And this other guy I knew quite well was, there's an expression in English, I mean, it's maybe not global, but it's called henpicked. It's just kind of torn down, just, you know, death by a thousand cuts, just like everything you're doing is wrong. And it's, but, so that's one aspect. And there's this person who was, the woman who was earning more, definitely dominated the husband. They did that generally, but then sometimes specifically, you know, they would say, I'm earning this much, you need to be earning at least as much. I'm earning this, I can't respect you if you're earning less. That is not healthy, right? So if you're going to out-earn this other person, and I think, you know, I think this goes the other way as well, right? If a guy is, and this is where a lot of strain probably comes, I mean, money is one of the number one determinants of success or failure in a relationship, right? So if the husband is earning a ton more, he can do really, you know, terrible manipulation of his partner as well, right? Because he has all the financial power, and if he pulls that, then she's screwed. Correct. And it goes the other way then as well, right? If the dynamic is flipped, then you're in danger of the same thing, where the woman can really screw over the guy or potentially manipulate him all the time because, well, she has the financial power.
Who brought up the agreement? that this is how it's going to work from now on.
Yeah, yeah. Can you share us with how you maneuvered that, you know, because obviously it's not something that's very common in Indonesia. Just share about how you approach that, how you talk to each other, or how you had the agreement to be like, you know, like financially we are like this.
We still don't have any super formal arrangements. Certainly, I don't know when it came up in our relationship, but I don't even know if it came up in the first year. Maybe sometime between the first and second year of the relationship, we had, I don't know, like a 5-minute conversation or something, really not too long, where I remember actually saying, like, you know, I don't mind the fact or the concept of you out earning me so long as you don't hold that against me.
So long that there is a respect, right? There is respect.
Yeah, so long, you know, if the only way you're going to respect me, or if that's going to be a big determinant or big factor in whether you respect me or treat me well or anything like that, is whether I earn a lot more than you, then, I mean, I think that's pretty crap.
Yeah, because unfortunately, dengan gender roles yang ada kan, so many women have this like implicit expectation bahwa partnernya itu harus earn sama atau out earn them. Dan kalau misalnya itu nggak terwujudkan, banyak perempuan itu akan hold that against the partner. Sering without the partner even realizing anything's wrong gitu. Makanya penting banget untuk ini diomongin, atau setidaknya kalau ada kemungkinan bisa ada insecurity atau masalah apapun, itu terbuka aja. Ini mirip juga sebenarnya sama kalau laki-laki out earn the woman and then hold it against her gitu. It's like, oh, you don't get to complain about doing all the housework because I work all day gitu, and you just stay at home, ya kan? Padahal kan the sad part is women's work is work. The women's work in the house is also work. It's just work that society deems to be free, but it's not free. It has a cost. Like, that's real labor cost, right? Itu sih menurutku penting banget untuk diomongin, because the issue is if a woman uses her economic power to create a toxic relationship with the partner, itu juga sama jeleknya, itu sama buruknya.
Because these things, right, it's sometimes it's a very subconscious thing, because I definitely grew up with the teachings of like, if I earn this much money, then I have the power against you. And sometimes, kayak, itu subconsciously gue pakai juga sih di dalam kayak my relationship, which is like, oh, I pay this much for this rental, so I should do this, which is something that my partner hates a lot. And I think you're right in saying that, you know, you cannot use financial power to suppress your partner or to oppress your partner in a more extreme sense, yeah. How should people approach the conversation between like out-earning your partner, insecurities around that particular topic?
To be honest, I think you need to talk about it once it starts getting very serious. Jadi, relationship kita juga yang tahun pertama kan, to be fair, tahun pertama biasanya banyak couples masih nggak tahu mereka bakal ngapain nantinya gitu. Tetapi menurutku sekali udah mulai serius beneran, di mana lu bisa ngeliat, wow, I can see myself spending a lifetime with you, atau I can see myself, you know, being with you for a very long time. I think it is very important to talk about it, dan kalau bisa sebelak-belakan mungkin, karena the longer you are in the relationship, your relationship is not gonna get simpler. Kalau sekarang aja udah nggak bisa ngomongin sesuatu yang seharusnya sejujur mungkin dan se-straightforward mungkin, gimana lagi nanti kalau life conditions ngebikin relationship kamu lebih ribet than it already is, you know what I mean? I think that's the issue, sih. Your life is just simply not gonna get simpler.
Yeah, so just to add to that, so I think, you know, it's there's two things. So one, I think it came up late for us, because at the time, Gita wasn't earning sort of maybe at the same rate that she is now. So like the difference between us
wasn't that
so
big.
Yeah. Right. The other thing is, you know, so on one hand, it's when the difference gets, you know, big enough or noticeable. So maybe you have a couple that when they start dating, they're at the same level, or, you know, might even be reversed, but then the dynamic changes at some point. Okay, so then that discussion needs to take place. And maybe you test that. You say, you know, you as the woman try and make some payments, right? And then if the guy resists, then, well, okay, you have the discussion. or vice versa, as the guy, maybe you try and let the woman pay for once. And if she's like, hey, what the hell's going on? Then you're like, oh, okay.
I agree, because I think that's generally very good advice, because if you can't talk about the small things, then how are you going to talk about the big things, right? Nah, I also have another question for Dea, actually. Nah, Dea, tadi kan lo sempat sebutkan, kayak, okay, in a sense, like, you've been in your relationship for 4 years, and you know for sure that you out-earn your partner. Have you ever had the conversation with your partner? Kayak, in a sense, like, okay, I need to make sure that my expectations are aligned with my partner's.
Yes, for sure. Tapi for us, it came up quite organically, because the situation emang lagi pas aja juga. Like Simon said, in the beginning we started kayak sama, but then things happen, and now I out-earned him. The thing is, kayak I was okay with it for maybe 3 years ish, because I knew that if the situation were reversed, he would do the same for me. He wouldn't mind doing this at all.
Doing this, maksud doing this tuh apa?
Paying for everything.
Paying for like things.
Yeah, or not paying for things. Lebih kayak covering things up aja. Because things are not going well at the moment. Gitu. Jadi ini lebih kayak I got your back. You got mine.
Right.
Yeah. However, okay. I feel like there could be some improvements. Actually, we talked about it and we set a deadline. Ya udah, abis dari situ udah. He's been doing whatever he can, and the situation has been improving, and he's not stopping, so everything's all great. Gimana ya, I value stability and security, including financially. Itu has to be, that box has to be ticked. Gini maksudnya bukan I need him to earn more than me, no. Mm-hmm. It's just so we're on the same level, in the sense that misalnya, I want, or if we want to move to new or more expensive place, we could afford it together. If we want to go traveling somewhere, I don't have to cover for him. For example, kayak gitu sih.
Okay, so the approach to this thing is more so like, for your approach would be like setting deadlines, setting expectations, and seeing if each other meet that particular expectation, right?
Mm-hmm. Because like I said, there are things that can be improved. If things cannot be improved, then what's there to say again?
Yeah, so what attracted me to my husband, Yoda, at the beginning was because we found that we are very mission-focused. So I've always been laser-focused on what I want to achieve and my career goals and the kind of impact I want to make. And he's the same, but not through career, but about how many people he can help, because he's right now he's a counselor, a coach, and a meditation instructor, right? So he's always been very open with me about his humanitarian goals. Like, I would speak to him about, oh, I want to build this company and I want it to be in this scale and do this kind of volume and all these things. And he'll speak to me about, I want to have an orphanage. Or wouldn't it be nice if we have a sanctuary for farm animals? And so this is the kind of person that I married. And why I married him was because, man, like, I feel like I can dream and be whoever I want. And he would support me, and I would also support him in his escapades of whatever he wants. Like, so then it's, I think that's where we connected. And even though we are very, both of us, we're very privileged to be where we are today. We also like grew up in New Zealand. Like, I didn't know him, but he also lived in New Zealand. So back then I drove a $4,000 car. I dated a guy who was a receptionist, and I paid for everything. So like, the thing is, money is not central in our relationship, but mission is. And like, I want to get this done before I die, and he tells me I want to get this done before I die, and so then it's like, okay, let's support one another in that.
It's very different from like mission, as in like they're not financial mission, right? It's more so like, I want to create this kind of impact, which is nothing wrong with that. Nggak ada salahnya kalau misalnya goals orang tuh ya beda gitu.
And we're both going to do everything we can. Like, my energy is always outward. It's always like, you know what? We're going to make it happen. We're going to make it work. It doesn't matter how much we earn. It doesn't matter. Like, we can rough it out, and we feel like we can rough it out, and we've done so. My husband have lived in someone's someone's basement before when he was, because he was already married, and when he got divorced, he was left with zero. Like, he said he rented a tiny apartment in Kamang once. He had to... So basically, he's roughed it up. And I used to, like, go to... When I travel, I would just stay in Airbnbs and fly economy. And I'm not afraid of not having money, you know? Like, I guess it's just currently it's not in the forefront of my focus, accumulating wealth. But setting myself up for the long game and building a career or in a company that can last and sustain us, that's more my focus.
Because we have been talking, you know, for quite a while now. I just want to wrap things up. Like, what is the advice if you come across anyone in, like, your life, like, especially as a woman, right? If a woman comes up to you and say, like, you know, it's very hard for me to, like, achieve, to, like, excel, because I have all of these expectations in my life, what would all of your advice to her be?
Well, like, own it. Like, own who you are first. Be clear with yourself that these things are negotiable, but these things are not, because they're so important to me. These things I would compromise on, but these things make up who I am and what I am here for, and it sparks me and it makes me excited about life, and that's unnegotiable. Like, if career sparks you in a way that gives you the zest of life, but having children for this moment does not, then we should be free to be able to follow that. And it's, and like, I think you guys always mention, we always mention this in every episode, like, nothing is forever, right? So I think it's important to follow that spark when it's sparking. And then who knows, like, in 4 or 5 years time, I would start to feel, oh, okay, yeah, I feel more satisfied in where I am, and I want to start building a family, then hopefully I'll get that inkling and get that calling. But when I don't want society or my partner to tell me what I must do. That would be very triggering for me. I would be like, nah, I'd rather be alone, be with someone who tries to make me feel small or limit me. That'll be sad.
I want to hear Simon's perspective. Like, if a girl comes up to you, you know, a young girl, and she's like, you know, I'm really not able to live the best, like, my best life because of all of this society expectations, what would your advice to her be?
Screw the societal expectations.
Aww.
Yes.
Yeah. You're awesome.
I mean, more or less, right? I mean, that's what informed my attitude, probably to a certain extent, that both in my family growing up, my parents raised me. One, they didn't enforce too many norms. So they didn't say, like, you know, you should do this, you should do that. We expect you to do this, we expect you to do that. Other than being, like, polite, well-mannered and all that kind of stuff, right? But in terms of, like, career and who you should date, not too much. And then on the other hand, they also, they did make sure that we were sort of questioning, independent thinkers and all that kind of stuff, which backfired on them terribly when we were teenagers, right? Because then we argued with them on everything, because it all came down to, like, you know, if something was given to us as like, do this, we're like, why? And if you couldn't explain it, if we didn't buy the reasoning, then, you know, or that's what you're supposed to do, or because I'm this authority figure, because I'm your mom, or because that person is that person, that was never good enough. It was like, does it actually make sense from a fairness perspective or from some other logical perspective? So that was always what really mattered. And so, you know, from a couple's perspective, like, does it actually make sense that only one person earns? Not really, not in our current society, probably not in any society ever before. Like, does it? And it's just risk management in one, just one example by itself is risk management. Shit happens. One day someone could get fired or get injured or have some health thing. And if that's the husband who's the only person who earns money, then suddenly the couple is shit out of luck, unless they, you know, have a government that they can rely on, or a great family infrastructure or wealth that they can rely on. So it makes sense that at least two people are earning, at least, right? If some young woman would come up to me and ask me, you know, say, like, hey, there's this expectation, I would just say, as much as possible, ignore them, right? And then, much as Talita said, like, just do you, basically, right? Go for what makes sense. And if you can't find a guy who agrees with that, then be single. Or, you know, widen your gender preferences.
Oh, love it.
Hey, Gates, like, you always say that nothing's permanent, right? Even if a guy is a billionaire and you marry him, one day, like, his empire could just collapse.
You literally just never know what
anyone can
do.
Just look at all the billionaires in China who are busy losing their shirts right now.
Kayak gak ada yang aman.
Gak ada yang aman.
Yeah, everything is impermanent.
Jadi, sebenarnya my parents have never taught me to rely on any man for my livelihood. Karena mereka bilang itu bahaya sekali dari sisi security kamu. Artinya, kalau kamu terlalu berpaku dan bertumpu dengan satu orang saja, including your own, misalnya your own family atau just anyone source, mereka bilang resikonya adalah itu selalu bisa aja hilang. Dan kalau kamu nggak pernah belajar dari sekarang bagaimana cara untuk berdiri sendiri, takutnya kalau sesuatu terjadi, ya kamu nanti bakal kelabakan. Dan itu bahaya sekali. Honestly, one of the big issues that I see in a lot of relationships yang jadinya lebih challenging adalah di mana satu sisi itu benar-benar dominasi in terms of including financial power dan financial dependence gitu. Karena juga sebagai perempuan kita harus banyak pinternya, kita harus banyak benar-benar mikirin future kita. Karena orang selalu mikir, oh ya sekali kamu kawin dan kamu punya anak, kamu quote unquote aman. Tetapi sebenarnya hidup kamu makin tidak aman kalau kita pikirin. Karena ada anak-anak yang bertumpu sama kamu, literally you are responsible for their lives. Like you can't mess with that gitu. Dan kalau kamu kawin, kata siapa juga suami kamu akan satu hidup beratusan tahun, kan itu nggak mungkin. Dan kata siapa you'll also last gitu. Dan kata siapa suami kamu akan sukses selama 100 tahun ke depan, kan juga enggak gitu. Nggak ada guarantee in anything. Dan untuk itu emang lebih baik kalau misalnya dua sisi itu bisa balance satu sama lain. Tetapi yang penting itu benar-benar harus ngikutin values kamu, which by the way bisa aja beda dengan values masyarakat sekitar kamu. Makanya harus pinter, pinternya di situ. Ini values kamu atau values masyarakat sekitar kamu. I'm not saying itu selalu harus beda atau selalu harus sama, tetapi benar-benar dikunyah aja. Karena unfortunately, let's say you follow what society have told you the entire time, you know, dan kamu become the perfect woman menurut masyarakat. Satu, standar masyarakat bisa berubah. Dan kedua, yang lebih berbahaya lagi adalah kamu sebenarnya sangat unhappy. Dan itu adalah the risk that you take. Because you're the only one who unfortunately has to live with what you've decided. So you can't blame society when you're just so ridiculously unhappy, unfortunately, right? You can complain about it, but the fact is your depression is still yours.
And who's to say that the societal and financial systems as we know it is also foolproof?
That's true. Yep.
Millions can be wiped out from the market.
Millions? Billions? Trillions?
Millions, trillions.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to close it out. Jadi, kalau misalnya nih ada a young girl who comes up and say, I'm not able to live, you know, the life that I want because society expects so much out of me. Lo akan kasih nasihat apa?
Know what you want.
Easy.
You have to know what you want and make sure it is really what you want, not because it is influenced by society juga sih. Yeah, otherwise muter-muter lagi di societal expectations lagi dong.
So, I think the important takeaway untuk hari ini ya, kita ngebahas tentang gender roles. Teman-teman yang kemarin mau kita cover this particular topic, sebenarnya di generasi ini udah sangat normal loh. Kalau misalnya perempuan itu punya kayak kerjaan yang pays you a lot more than compared to your partner. And I think the most important takeaway is, maupun lo perempuan, maupun lo laki-laki, never hold your financial power against your partner because that sets you up for toxic relationships, right? So I think today we covered a lot of good points and we're so happy that Simon could join us today to share about his perspective. And I think there's so many great points. So hopefully you learned something out of our podcast today.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Simon.
My pleasure. It was fun being on.
Semoga gak kapok. Yes. And thank you so much for listening in. We'll see you all next week with another Taboo Tuesday topic. So don't forget to unlearn, learn, and empower. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. See you.
Bye.
Bye, ladies.